Oh my god. What is up, you guys? It is the Femboy Weekly Memes Podcast. Let's go. Do you know it's almost my birthday, bro? Do you know? No? Wow, I see how it is. No, a happy early birthday. Bro, it's literally the 15th of February. And y'all don't care. Anyways. What were we gonna do? Let's see, let's see, let's see. We are going to read the most creepiest pastas. Yes. Okay. Let's see. Okay, give me a second, guys. I'm looking for it. If you're armed and at oh no, in Metro Police, you know. Let's see. Bro, bend round. I haven't heard that in a long time. Tiki Toby. Bro, I forget. It was almost my birthday, and it was a creepypasta about. Every day on my birthday, I have to die. Let's read it. Let's go. I died for the first time on the 18th of August, 2006. It wasn't particularly pleasant death, nor was it one that I expected. It was simply the random act of violence that destroyed my life and came out of nowhere. We were just relaxing at the pub, enjoying a few drinks after a busy day at work. It was my turn to buy a round of drinks, so I was trying to get the attention of the bartender. I felt someone punch me in the side. At first, I thought someone had just hit me, and then I felt the warmth and a rapid stream of blood pouring down my shirt. Oh, damn. I realized that in there. That actually gotten stabbed, as far as I can remember, it wasn't even that painful. Still, my legs gave out under me, I collapsed to the floor. Even then, I worried more about ruining my expensive suit, ignoring the fact that I might be dying. Oncoming death is funny like that. Everyone thinks there's that expectation that they'll get out of from whatever horrible situation the universe has thrust upon them. At least that's what I thought. As the life drained from my body, the world around me just faded to black, and before I knew it, I had just died. It's getting spicy, guys. It's getting spicy. Okay. All right. Let me go back to where I just was. Then there was a void. The void. At first, it was a little more than darkness, only broken by weird shapes and colors in the distance. As I regained the sense of surroundings, I was dragged towards a new world, one without pain, suffering, nor death. all there was were people on a journey to different dimensions. Whether they have all died like myself, or if they weren't born yet, I didn't know. All I knew was that I wasn't afraid anymore. The worries, the anxiety, and all my fears had been left behind. Light appeared in the distance, endlessly afar. I knew that would be my final destination, my final purpose in the brief life I led. Fortunately, I never managed to get that far. I was jolted in my own bed, soaking wet from sweat, shaking like a maniac. My hand had reflectively clutched my side to cover up the wound I sustained, but it wasn't there anymore. In fact, I didn't have a single scratch on me. Sorry, bro. Guys, I keep on messing up. I'm gonna do better. I just gotta focus more on it. I keep on daydreaming. I had to open a dream. My phone lit up on the bedside table. I picked it up to find dozens of text messages and mixed calls. Bro, I hate that, bro. Like, if it's not anything important, especially when you get a bunch of missed text messages and calls, especially when it's something negative, bro. I hate that. Hey, man, we're at the pub. You coming or what? The first red message set at 9:43 p.m. Hey, Rick, where the hell are you? The second message read, sent at 10:23 p.m. Then there were a couple phone calls and another message. I guess you fell asleep, or maybe you're getting lucky. Whatever, I'll drink another shot in your honor. Happy birthday, Rick. Then I had over 20 phone calls and a singular message that sent shivers down my spine. For fuck's sakes, pick up the damn phone. Something happened to Danny. I immediately called back. My fingers were trembling both from tensitation and from the memory of what happened only a night ago. Even if my death had been a little more than a nightmare, I knew for sure that I met with my friends at the pub. The phone rang 3 times, then Jake picked up. Rick, is that you? Where the hell are you? Jake asked with a panicked, tired voice. I don't know what happened. I guess I fell asleep. I half asked, half stated. Danny got stabbed last night, Jake said without listening to my explanation. Stabbed how? I don't know. Some nut job just walked up to him and stabbed him in the side. I almost dropped my phone in shock. Danny had been attacked just like myself in this exact same place. 1,000 thoughts rushed through my mind, but don't worry, quickly became my main concern. Is he alright? He's in surgery. They're only letting his wife know about. Wait, here she comes. Jake put his phone down, but I could still hear the muffled sound of their discussion. Danny's wife seemed upset, but I couldn't make out the words. Jake, I asked. He's dead. Danny's dead. The next few moments turned into a blurry haze of information. We'd all know Danny since we were kids, and now he was just gone. Murderer never even made out of the pub. Apparently, he got shot by one of the patrons as he tried to attack another guest. Still, I just couldn't shake that feeling. I was supposed to die that night. Regardless of what happened, I marched on without answers. Some of our coworkers quit after Danny's death, trying to hopelessly move on. I didn't blame them. I also needed some distance. I never even told them what I experienced last night. It wouldn't have helped them anyway. A year passed, I hardly spoke to any of my friends. I started to get some semblance of normalcy in the wake of Danny's death, but that would all come to an end. On the 18th of August, 2007, my birthday had arrived yet again, and I had absolutely no intention of celebrating it. Instead, I called in sick to work, bottle of whiskey, spent the night playing video games. By the time I had given way to the night, I'd almost finished the bottle. Even as a rather large guy, the alcohol had hit me hard. Around 9 o'clock, I just passed out of bed, awaiting a horrible hangover in the morning. I only awoke around midnight when I heard the front door forcibly break open, followed by some footsteps and whispers. I tried to get up, still drowsy from the alcohol, I took one step out from my bed. I slipped and came tumbling down to the floor. It produced a massive crash, loud enough to alert whichever intruders had broken. "I thought you said no one would be home," a man stated angrily. "Don't worry about it. I'll go deal with them." The footsteps moved quickly in my direction. I tried to lock the door, but they were too fast, kicking it open and knocking me back to the ground. A masked man entered the room holding a gun. He only spoke a single sentence to me before pulling the weapon at me and pulling the trigger. "You should have stayed quiet." Unfortunately, the man was a horrible shot. He aimed at my head, but it had hit me in the throat instead. There I lay, drowning in my own blood as I desperately gasped for air. I couldn't crawl, and I couldn't call for help. I died on the bedroom floor on my own birthday, just as I had a year earlier. Once the life finally drained from my body and the god-awful pain ceased, I was back in the world beyond. I walked through the same colorful dimension that way, just on the edge of my life. I admired the shapes and colors as they passed. In the distance, I saw a tree with branches stretching endlessly far from its trunk. From branch dangled a person, real but not existing in our world. I wanted to visit them, but that wasn't my destination, because just like before, I would awake in my own bed, unharmed by the events from the previous night. My phone buzzed, and I was filled with unfathomable dread. I still couldn't quite believe it, but I stayed in to understand that someone would take my place in death. "Hello? Ricketts, Dad, your mother, she passed away last night." A lump forced in my throat. I knew that what was coming next, but I had to ask, "How? What happened?" The police said it was a burglary gone wrong. "I don't know, I was working late. I should have been there." The discussion trailed off from there. My dad was distraught and couldn't barely form coherent coherent sentences. Fuck my English. He blamed himself for not being there, but I knew the truth. It was my fault. During the next 2 months, he fell into a deep depression. I couldn't blame him. He just lost the love of his life. I moved in with him just to help him pick the... Fuck. Stupid advertisement, bro. How do I fucking get rid of this shit, bro? Oh my god. No. Fuck. Okay. Okay. During the next 2 months, he found it. Blah, 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 blah. I moved in with him just to help and pick up the pieces. He put on a strong face, trying his best to keep the ship afloat. But I could tell how close he was to just breaking down. "If only I had been there." "It wasn't your fault, Dad." "Had you been there, you might be gone too." "You don't know that." "I know, because the burglars weren't even supposed to visit my parents' home. They're supposed to kill me. I had to come clean. I had to let him know the truth. But how could I? Half a year passed, and the secret ate at me. After everything that had happened, I still didn't know how to explain it. Still, I decided it was time to share my curse. "Dad, can we talk?" "Yeah, what's going on?" Yes, with a worried expression on his face. He knew me well, and he could tell a heavy burden was weighing down. I stated by telling him about my first death, down to the smallest detail. Of course, it matched everything that people had witnessed in the pub that night, even the location of the stab wound. I told him Danny had taken my place, and I felt that guilty. Naturally, he was skeptic at first, but then I told him about my mother. I didn't spare him any details. I told him where I got shot, and that the door had been broken down, and that there were two robbers. Every detail matched perfectly, down to the letter. "So sorry, Dad, it was my fault. I killed her." He just sat there in silence, processing what I told. "It wasn't your fault." I was confused. There was a single ounce of anger in his words, only overwhelming empathy. "How can you say that she didn't have to die?" He mumbled his next words carefully before speaking. "You didn't do anything, Rick. You just went about your life, and these things happened to you. I don't know why you've been brought back or even how, but you're not to blame for what is done to you. So you believe me?" He nodded, embraced me, a hug. Suddenly, I wasn't alone. Oh my god. Bro, these advertisements are annoying me. Bro, what is these? Bro. Oh my god. No. Bro, I know there's a fake advertisements, bro. No, I don't want living room furniture. Fuck. Bro, how am I ever going to read these? If I can't. If it won't let me. Even. Okay. Sorry, guys. Shit. Okay. Go back. Oh no. That one. There we go. Okay. What? Okay, suddenly I wasn't alone in the world anymore. Someone knew that was happening to me. What was happening to me, or whatever. What if it happens again? Then we'll get through it together. He stood by those words, even as my next birthday rolled around. That death was more tame. I just slipped in the shower and broke my neck. The last, though, that went through my mind as I left for a third time was how fucking cliche. Once again, I awoke in my bed. I called out from Dad, making sure he was still alive, horrified that he might have taken my place. I couldn't even breathe until he came rushing to my side, asking why that happened. I broke my neck, but I think I'm fine. It took a while before I figured out who had taken my place, but once I heard that my boss just died, something broke inside me. He was the kindest man I had ever met, and was just like me. He slipped and broke his neck. That was the final straw. It wasn't some bizarre coincidence. I couldn't brush off nor premeditation. I decided then and there that I couldn't live with the responsibility. I had to put a stop to it, even if it meant giving up my own life. Bro, he's just gonna end up trying to end his life. It's gonna end someone else's. I hate to say that, but it's true. I figured this advertisement is blocking the fucking way. Okay. Kill myself outside of my own birthday, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Leave. I couldn't face him in person. I knew he'd just try to talk me out of it. I figured I had to take control over my own fate and kill myself outside of my own birthday. Maybe I could prevent more people from dying. First, I left behind a long letter. You guys, Spotify, this is a story I'm reading. This is for entertainment purposes only. Do not ban my podcast. Long letter to my father. Okay. Why I had chosen to leave. I couldn't face someone else. Ellen's fate is a fickle bitch, no matter how hard I tried. I just couldn't. Alice's fate is a fickle bitch, no matter how hard I tried. I just couldn't end my own life. I tried hanging, but the rope broke. Then I tried to shoot myself, but then the gun jammed. When that failed, I had tried to drive my car over into a tree. I somehow survived that as well. Any attempt that was met with failure All I can do was to wait for my next birthday and let someone die in my place. No matter how many times I tried, I couldn't die. I was a slave to destiny and it was destroying me. In 2009, I was hit by a drunk driver and my girlfriend took my place. In 2010, I drowned and my kind neighbor had to go through that death. In 2011, I died from a brain aneurysm, which ended up killing my aunt, and so on and so on. Each year I die, and a person close to me would take my place. I kept trying to find a way, but fate wouldn't have it. Years went by, and on the August 18th, 2019, I would die for the 14th time. I already fell sick a week earlier, much to the doctor's confusion. According to each and every laboratory value, I was fine, yet I kept getting sicker. My father and I both knew my time was near, but we also knew I'd be brought back forcefully. Then at midnight on my own birthday, my heart just gave out. I was jolted awake in my own bed, and sickness was a little more than a distant memory. Dad, I called out, no response. I got out of bed and called his name. I was met with silence. I didn't have to call him a third time. I already knew what happened. I carefully walked into his room, horrified what I knew would come. He was dead, just gone from a heart attack. He'd taken my place. I could do nothing to save him. The funeral came and went a blur. The only noticeable thing was the missing seats from the people who had passed before him. Some of them had lived their own lives and died as nature intended, but a number of them were supposed to live on. Instead, they were taking my place in death. I inherited a number of things from my father among them. I found a letter addressed to me. It looked rather worn, so I could tell he'd written a long time ago. Dear Richard, today is your birthday, and it's officially been a year since your mother passed. While I miss her greatly, I'm thankful to still have you around. I know if she had given the chance, the choice, she would have wanted you to live. I feel the same way. We both know that I might one day take your place in death. Never doubt that I would happily give my life if it means that you may live. You didn't choose this curse, so never blame yourself. Just do what every person is supposed to do. Appreciate the people around you because you never know which day might be the last. I love you, Dan. Since I read that letter, I've been looking for a way out. Damn, that got me tearing up. My father might want me to stay behind, but how can I live on knowing that I'm taking someone's place? I've long since left town, living by myself in a cabin somewhere away from people. Hopefully if I had no one left that cares for me, people will stop, at least until I can figure out not only how to die, but how to actually stay dead. I'm sorry. Written by Richard Saxon. Damn. That was a good story. Good creepypasta.